Today is the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle is taken from the book of Judith. The Lord hath blessed thee by his power, because by thee he hath brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord, the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who hath directed thee to the cutting off the head of the prince of our enemies, because he hath so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever, for that thou hast not spared thy life by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel, thou art the honor of our people. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy, and blessed art thou that thou hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear him. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate one of the principal feasts of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is that of her assumption into heaven. And, of course, it was believed throughout the history of the Church. It was made dogma then, but that was proclaimed by Pope Pius XII. And, of course, we know that by this celebration, we celebrate the fact that at the end of the earthly life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she was assumed body and soul into heaven. She did not suffer the corruption of the grave, which is one of the punishments for sin. And of course, it's fitting that she did so, that she was given this benefit, this privilege, because of the fact that she was not only conceived without the stain of original sin, but she lived a life where she committed no actual sin either. There was no sin that she committed in her entire life. And so for this privilege, she was then assumed body and soul into heaven to be with God, to be there with her Son, who had ascended into heaven 40 days after Easter. Of course, celebrate this feast, and we think about it, but we kind of need to also then consider it and think about ourselves also in this picture as well. She was such that she was completely and totally sinless, and it also brings to mind one of the Beatitudes, Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. The pure of heart shall see God. It is, of course, those who have God as their first priority, is those who are such that they're not distracted by the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, the things that sin is such that it gives those pleasures, the instant gratifications, those pleasures that are forbidden by God, because they are obstacles to our sanctification. It's interesting to also think about the fact that, you know, we say that we have difficulty in performing supernatural acts, of doing things in a supernatural way, of seeing things in the proper respect, not only because of the sin of Adam, which we all are such that we are subject to, but it's because also of our own personal sins. It makes the supernatural activities that much more difficult. They are difficult because we are become more and more attached to the things of this life, to the forbidden pleasures of this life, the things that are obstacles to our sanctification. And they are indeed obstacles. We see the Blessed Virgin Mary, she's got this pure intention throughout her entire life of always wanting to please God from the first moment of her conception. She always had God in view. Everything revolved around God. All of her activities, all of her actions, all of her words, all of her thoughts. The Church formerly used to celebrate the fact also that that this was an octave that was surrounding the octave of the Assumption. And it culminated next Wednesday in the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which still remains in the calendar. But again, it's that pure heart of Mary, that Immaculate Heart of Mary, that made her benefit so much from everything that was around her, that made her a fit mother for the Savior, that made her see everything from the standpoint of God. And it's important for us to know that, to understand that, and to also realize that that is important for us as well. To see things from the viewpoint of God, we need to renounce sin. You know that at the Easter Vigil, you renewed your baptismal promises, the ones made at your baptism, in which you renounced everything that had to do with Satan. Unfortunately, poor humans that we are, we fall into sin. And these sins that we commit, even though they're absolved by the priest in confession, they are such that they cloud our vision. We have a very poor vision. It's such that it's very much compromised by our sins. And we don't understand and we don't see with a clear mind and a clear heart those things that we need to do, that we need to sanctify our souls. And the enemy puts before us all kinds of ways in which it strikes our interests, it strikes the thing that we would like to do. We spend our time doing these things that are such that they preoccupy our time, they block our vision of God, they keep us from seeing things that we should be seeing in the light of God. You know, if you really understood the things of God and you understood who he was and what he's done and how he is present with you, the attitudes of many people would change drastically. The fact that our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity is present in the tabernacle is an astounding reality that most people probably don't give too many thoughts about. Yes, okay, yeah. At least in theory, yes, you understand the Blessed Sacrament is there. But what does that mean? How does that impact us? Where does that put us? This is truly God in a tabernacle. He's there with us. He's here 24/7. We come to see him occasionally. You're here tonight, which is good. But some of you had to drag yourself to bring yourself here. So, well, I have to come. It's a holy day of obligation. Church requires it. Instead of saying, what a great joy it is for me to come. And I would like to stay here, if I could, as much time as I possibly could. And you should be such that you have to be dragged away from the church because of the fact that our Lord is here. Contrary-wise, I think in many cases, people are more than happy to say, well, I'm glad the sermon wasn't too long. Get on with Mass and so I can get out here and get on with other things. I got other things to do. Got other interests, other things that I want to do with my time. I got some stuff that I'd like to do, you know, things like, pull out the phone, the computer, the Xbox, all these kinds of video games, all these kinds of things. These things are all obstacles. They're all obstacles to seeing God because you're looking at something else. Your whole mindset is around all these things and you say, well, okay, I guess, well, yeah, I gotta give that hour, gotta end up in church for that hour. Then I can get back to the usual as I ought, as I really wanted to do. Well, to me, exactly the opposite. You should be such that you're here and you have to be pulled away from the church because God's present. If you really understood who He is and understood what you are and understood what a great privilege it is to be here, it should be such that this is where the pull is for the soul. The great saints spent much time in meditation. They spent much time before the Blessed Sacrament. They spent much time in prayer. And they were pulled to our Lord. It was like a magnet. It was like they didn't want to do anything else. I've heard stories, but of course I'm sure they're not true of anyone here, that parents have difficulties pulling their kids away from video games. Fancy that. I'm sure that's not anybody here, though. It should be that kind of a reaction that people have when they're here in church, here in front of our Lord. It should be such that it's hard to pull yourself away from our Lord because you know that He's here. That's what a sinless soul that's in love with God wants to do. And that's what's meant by that beatitude, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. That's what they're seeking. That's what they're looking for. And of course, they're here for a time, and they honor our Lord and Blessed Sacrament. But, you know, they want more. They want more. It's interesting to think about somebody like St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas is the doctor of the church, one of the primary ones. And his writings are revered, you know, in the church as being some of the best, some of the finest. For the Council of Trent, there were two references that were there for the Council of Trent. One was Scripture, and the other was the Summa Theologica of St. Thomas Aquinas. Well, St. Thomas Aquinas finished his Summa Theologica, his great work. And our Lord comes to him and is there with him, and he says, what more could you want? You've written well, Thomas. You've written well about the Blessed Sacrament. You've written well about all of the things about the Catholic faith. What more do you want? He says, what I want is you. And then God gave him some indication of who he is to a certain extent by his contemplations and meditation that he was making at the moment. God enlightened him, and he realized that although people consider his work, all of his theological writings very, extraordinary, he realized that they were, as he said, straw. And he went to burn them. And he stopped him and said, no, don't burn them. But that's what a soul is that's in love with God, that sees God, that has a God for a priority. And so we see this with the Blessed Virgin Mary. She saw God. She saw him during his earthly life. She saw him in all that she did. She kept that priority always. And she wanted to do everything she possibly could. That needs to be the way we look at things. That needs to be the way we understand our faith. That our faith means everything. That God means everything. that we want to be with him always, and that we want to see him. Consider someone who is supposedly he's a young man courting a young lady. Would you think that it's really all that great if he says, well, yes, I certainly love her. I'm really in love with her and everything else. I really have a great affection for her and doesn't even want to see her. I mean, you kind of scratch your head and say, well, that's strange. That's really peculiar. Doesn't want to see her, but says he's in love with her. If we're in love with our Lord, if we want to be with him, united to him, we want to see him. We want to be there with him. And so it was with the Blessed Virgin Mary. So much so that she was, of course, torn when she was absent from him, wanted to be with him, knew, understood what he had to do, but nevertheless always wanted to be with him, always kept his presence with her as best as she could in whatever situation she was. Until finally, when she ended her earthly life, her desire was so great and her purity of soul was so great that God took her into heaven to be with him, body and soul, for all eternity. And so this is what we celebrate. This is what we need to think about in our lives, that we need to have this great desire to be with God, to see him, to do all we do for him, to direct our thoughts, our words, our actions to him, so that we have to be pulled away if we have to do other things, you know, if duty calls, so that when we live this life, we will be certainly like those who our Lord refers to as the clean of heart, so that we will be able to leave this life and be able to be present before our Lord, before the Blessed Trinity, before the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the saints in heaven, to be there enjoying the presence of God for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.